If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Oh, hey, Guy. Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
This is Tedious on therightstuff.biz.
Everyone, welcome back from, should we call it Independence Day? You know, like Indiana Jones? Because that was the most significant thing about this holiday weekend, I think.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
As an American, like...
Yeah, it's what, to Americans.
To an American, like, what's more important than a fictional movie character thought up by a couple of brain-dead Hollywood boomers?
Also, what's more important to kids, whether pro or anti, than like the latest franchise? Like the kid old faction is like really excited. One thing is, we do have to talk about other stuff, mainly because that's what I'm interested in.
Are you sure?
Not because it's what the audience wants.
I was gonna say, like, I'm not sure that's what the public is. I think the public just wants to hear about kid old,
but remember,
movie franchise.
We don't do what the public wants. We do what we want.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I want to get into Indiana Jones thing.
I'm willing to talk about it.
It only made $82 million. This is the Disney 8
bomb.
It made $82 million. I thought it was that's like the 4 day, right? Because they're tacking on Monday. Yeah,
that's 4 day. Yeah, no, because there's like 70 something before that.
The weekend is like 60 from what I saw.
I can't decide what I hate more though, like the actual movies or the A logs, because I would derive a great deal of satisfaction from like Nerd Roddick or one of these guys like having to tell their audience, yeah, the movie made like $600 million, but they didn't. So yeah,
I don't even know.
But
that's
just my personal misanthropy towards that guy. Like in general, I want all these things to fail.
Somebody was complaining that Nerd Roddick is like a felon, that he used to have like a lot of drug issues, and he's not even convicted of it, but like he's allegedly like sold meth to someone underage. And I'm like, so he's been convicted of all this stuff, but not that. So why are you leading with that? And second of all, like, so to give out like shitty, annoying movie opinions, you have to like have a clean, like, who gives a fuck? Like,
you can't have ever sold drugs.
I'm
not surprised at all.
The sanctity of the YouTube movie community has been fucking tarnished by this man's checkered past. Like,
well,
fuck you.
This guy used to buy and sell drugs.
It's like, oh my God.
I would assume these guys are drugs.
Are they really making a big deal of this?
Somebody who basically, I don't know, apparently there's people that like enjoy the new Disney, or at least they say they do, on the YouTubes, and so we're gonna fight. If I want the opinions of a meth dealer who sells allegedly to kids, then I'll go to Nerd Roddick. I was like, well, what if you just kind of want a hyperbolic presentation of how bad the content is? The content is good. Like, oh, all right. So you're just mad about content.
See, now I'm on his side again. What the fuck?
That's how this works.
I would rather
take the opinions of a meth dealer than fucking Hollywood Jewish writers.
I don't see why he's any less or more qualified than anybody
else.
That's
what I was saying.
Like, here's the thing. A movie is a fucking movie. Anybody can say what they think about it.
Yeah.
You don't need anything special.
No.
Like, you don't, like, frankly, a nigger's opinion is as valid as anybody else's on a movie.
Yeah, nigger can tell you that shit was boring. Tell you there's a lot of explosions.
Right.
He can tell you it was fun.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, this idea, there's some test you have to pass to have an opinion on a movie? Who fucking cares?
It's like, guess what? Nerd Roddick is a funny-looking man with an interesting background. I mean, his background image. And he's a good presenter, and his scripts are funny, and he reads them well. Try more. Mm. Maybe you should try meth. Maybe your stuff will be better.
Maybe taking meth is what gives him the concentration to give that detailed
presentation of all those scripts, though.
You don't think it's there? You don't
think he's got a hit or miss, man. How he has the focus to build that background with all those miniature figurines stacked everywhere. Like, I would get terribly bored trying to do that, but if you're on meth, it's like you're going to be on point on that task. You're like, I have to do it.
I'll give you an example of a thing he does I don't like. The MCU. I didn't really care for that pun.
Well, that's. Yeah. I don't actually like Nerdrotic. I just think it's funny.
Well, Nerdrotic is a great example of sort of overplaying the politics hand. What the MCU is like, they've turned themselves into like the stereotypical anti-feminist that like gets made fun of by people because it's not really like deeply thought out.
Yeah.
They just like, there's a girl on screen, I'm mad. It comes off as like that. That's where MCU comes from.
That sounds like really lame. I confess, I watched like the first couple minutes of, because I didn't know about this guy until you started talking about A-Log, so now I know about him. But I watched part of his thing on the Indiana Jones movie, and he was most butthurt about this British woman.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge. This, like, I swear I never want to hear the phrase Phoebe Waller-Bridge ever again.
Well, I stopped watching. I don't have much of an attention span for videos that I'm not interested in, as like I think most people are like that too. So I stopped watching after a few minutes. But he was very mad about her, and I actually was kind of curious about this broad if she was Jewish or something. She's not, but she is from an aristocratic family, and I found something very funny.
Oh, really?
Okay. Her ancestors are like lords and ladies of England of some kind or another, some rank or another. But the town from whence their traditional aristocratic power base comes is called Cuckfield.
Come on.
I'm not joking. Cuckfield, England. The now, that's just Cuckfield. Being from Cuckfield generally.
But she appears to be... How can the lady from Cuckfield be all white, though?
I'm a Cuckfielder.
She does have brown eyes.
I'm a multi-generation Cuckfielder.
Long line from a long, long line of Cuckfielders. Unbroken line of Cuckfielders.
My family's power base is coming out of Cuckfield.
Oh my god!
Man, hold on, let me see. That's I swear to God, I'm not like. First of all, she's not that attractive, but she's got that British broad look to her, you know. And of course, they give her those old timey haircuts and stuff. So, okay, so here's Phoebe Waller-Bridge, born in Hammersmith, London, July 1985, the daughter of Michael Cyprian Waller-Bridge, founder of the electronic trading platform TradePoint, and Theresa Mary, daughter of Sir John Edward Longueville Clerk, 12th Baronet, employed by the Worshipful Company of Ironmongers. The Bridge, later Waller-Bridge family, were soldiers and clergymen who came to rank among the landed gentry of Cuckfield in Sussex. Dude, these fucking British titles, like, what is this? Like, who is this?
I like the Ironmongers. I'll be one of those.
Edward Longueville Clark, 12th Baronet. It's like, dude, I'm so glad. I'm actually glad we broke away from this gay country. Even though, like, our country is also gay. Something about their country is also just gay and annoying.
I don't know. I like the idea of all that nobility stuff. Might have, like, maintain a fucking hierarchical organization.
I like the idea of it. But I also
feel like saying this after the birthday anniversary for the Great Satan.
I'll say this. I like the idea of that, but I also like the idea of multi-generations of, like, the peasant classes, like, A-logging it. You know, okay. like having the aristocrats, but then also having the peasants constantly A-logging them. Like, that to me is a traditional setup.
I would just like to see how it would work out without Jewish interference for once.
They would probably be real
supposed
assholes.
To have, like, what is it, noblesse oblige?
Yeah.
Or as an aristocrat, as an elite, you take care of the peasants?
Well, you know how that noblesse oblige attitude in today's society works out? These are the people that are extra brainwashed by Jewish crap. They're like super fucking, I hate to use the word, but woke.
Yeah.
Super anti-white, super hateful of their own people. Like, here's the thing I hate about British aristocracy. It was really easy. It was really fucking easy for the Jews to convince them that their own fucking peasant class, their own people, were like the shittiest people on earth, and you need to bring niggers in and like just use them or Indians or some other non-white race. Yeah. The Jews had almost zero problems convincing these faggots of this. Basically, they were kind of like rubbing hands together or conspire. Yeah, that'll be great. We'll get rid of the actual annoying white peasants, the ones that actually give us problems every couple or so decades. You know, they revolt. They'll fucking slit the throat of a noble. Let's bring in some fucking Pajits and niggers. This will be great.
Yeah, it's hard. And to imagine all that
noblesse oblige just is total fucking hostility to their own people. It's disgusting.
The noblesse oblige is for the tranny shooter in fucking Philly. They're like, I'm reading the articles and all the quoted.
You missed my pun.
No, I didn't miss it.
Oh, it just wasn't funny.
I reacted to it.
I thought it was good. All
right. Oh, whoa, who's getting notifications?
Oh, my wife is finally canceling.
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall at rightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's the rightstuff.biz/paywall.
Like something that I tried to get her to cancel months ago and she messed it up.
Oh, dude, I love
cancel culture in the McNabb.
I love finding some dumbass recurring payment. And
yeah, that's what happened. And it was Lyft. And I'm like, okay, it's canceled on my account. Did you check yours?
You got to make sure you charge back all the rest of your bank. Anyway, so, fuck, what was I going to talk about? Oh, I guess the Disney A-Log people just brought it up. Like, I don't know what they're going to do anymore. Like, I've become sort of emotionally invested in that scene a little bit.
Yeah,
because it's fascinating. But I know not in them. Like, there is a temptation when they're good at it to like talk about it on their terms, as if like these issues exist, and like, you know what I mean, like to get involved. But I'm more fascinated that just the fact that the whole discussion is happening at all. Like, that's what I'm invested in.
Yes,
and
yes.
Now I'm wondering,
fascinated.
Like, right, but now I don't know what they're going to do next because it's over. Like, the Indiana Jones movie, that was the last, like, tentpole blockbuster thing they had where they could put out a gigantic bomb. They don't have anything else to do. All Disney has now is, like, mediocre Marvel shit. They're never going to fix that. There's no Lucasfilm properties left. They've all been destroyed. And, what was the other? There's no Willow. There's just nothing. And, oh, they could do, like, more live-action remakes of their classic Disney cartoons. And it's basically, there's nothing left they could cut. That they could put out that people are going to be like, this should be good. We should love this, and it's very disappointing. So now I don't know what they're going to do. Like, there's a Disney Corporation earnings call in August. I don't know how they're going to leg out that far. Like, is this entire scene of YouTubers still going to exist?
Yeah, how are you going to kill time until that?
You're
going
to have to keep saying the same shit over and over again. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do.
Are there any more? This is a picture of the British landed aristocracy.
Oh, and that's what's his
circa
face.
2023.
Oh god!
Here we go. This is. Oh yeah. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I did this. No, just, it's my fault. I didn't do this before we started. There you go. Oh, there's you. Hi.
Oh nice. Cool.
Hi. There cool. It is. There
who's
they
that
are.
Guy?
Yeah, that so guy's hit British. That's the British landed aristocracy.
That's the British aristocracy.
What
circa
the fuck?
2023.
That's her. That's Phoebe. They call her Fleabag, which is pretty funny.
God.
But of course
is
they.
That-
They've called her Fleabag so many times, I'm sick of it. I almost feel bad for
it's
her.
It's not funny anymore.
Is that her mulatto stud?
No, that's Glover.
That's
Donald Glover? Danny Glover.
That's
what's
Childish Gambino.
Yeah, Childish Gambino.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which is, I'm ashamed. Yes, I did recognize that nigger.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, that video he did was fucking pretty funny, where he's dancing around like an idiot, like shooting niggers.
Shooting
like,
niggers
I like America.
Like
that
Redbone.
Was funny.
I thought Redbone was pretty good.
Redbone.
Oh. He has a song called Redbone.
Yeah, it's not what you'd expect.
Mm.
I also found it funny the way he developed his name, which is he went to like a Wu-Tang phony name generator.
Oh yeah, Childish
Wu-Tang Clan alias generator, which is still online. He got that's the first one he got, which is actually very very funny.
That's pretty funny.
It's a really stupid fucking name.
Because I thought Childish Gambino is like funny, but like really fucking.
I mean,
dumb.
He's no Weeknd. The Weeknd's actually good, but
no vowels. By vowel Weeknd.
I don't listen to any of this crap, so I don't know. The only thing I know from Childish Gambino is not even the song, because I usually turn the audio off, but the video where he's dancing like a fool, like a homeless person, and everyone's getting shot and stuff like that.
That sounds
like, look,
that
but
sounds like 4th of July celebrations all over.
Yes, America. That's it's like I'm like, but here's the thing: it is America, but it's basically niggers. Like, what numbers are we at now? So that shooting in Philly.
Oh God.
Which was, first we had Baltimore where we had 30 people shot, 2 dead. I was actually occasionally tuning into some Ock Nation over the weekend because it's always entertaining. on these type of the, like I did some Juneteenth Ock Nation perusing, and did some July 4th Ock Nation. It's good. It's always good around these seminal.
Yeah,
dates.
He's like he's the opposite of us. Like we're taking a few days off. Like he's in busy season. He has to be like 24/7 for 4th of July
holiday
weekend.
Weekends are his on time. The rest of the, he can take like normal weekdays and stuff off. Right, but
He doesn't have time for like Disney movies right now. Like
he also is later. Hilariously as usual because he's black. He's like late all the time. Like one of his live streams was scheduled to start at like 10:30. I happened to be just like sitting in bed, like just looking at the computer, and it's like, oh, Ock Nation live stream is like scheduled to start 10:30. It's like 11:15. And he starts, he's got like no shirt on. He sits down in front of his chair. He's like eating fries or something like that. He's like, like sniffling and snorting. And
oh, God.
I'm like, there's still some very black things about
him.
But, which he doesn't really mind. He knows that. But it's funny because, in any case, it turned out the Philly shooter, I was not expecting this, was a fucking tranny.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you guys hear this?
A tranny who?
I didn't see that till this morning. It was a tranny.
They were claiming it was a tranny that both supported BLM and Borland Blormf.
Yeah, I saw that, but I didn't see the evidence of Trump support, although it does seem to be a tranny that enjoyed guns.
Like, I haven't kept up the shootings.
Well, it's hard to do. The thing the Philly one struck me was because it stayed on the top of Google News longer, and typically they go very quickly. Mm. And additionally, they were saying mail, and because the fact was that the tranny had an AR-15, mm-hmm. they had body armor, they had a police scanner.
I'm armoring
which,
my body.
Like every, and they also killed 5 out of 7 people that they shot. So all of these things made me slightly nervous. That maybe this was a white guy, but then
I heard there was like fucking like dozens and dozens like magazine like mag dumps like 30 plus shots.
He was like shooting quite a bit, so
the only shot at 5
probably he filled with bullets.
Huh?
Which shooting was this? Which one was this?
Philadelphia. A couple of nights ago, right?
Yeah. Let me just interject real fast. I think it's really funny when I type in 4th of July shootings into Google and auto completes 2023.
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
like this is like
because you want to know, like, what are the ones this year? But here's the other thing, though, is that one, Ock Nation had on his stream the press conference with the black mulatto woman police chief of Philadelphia, who's definitely on the job there, definitely on point. And in that press conference, she clearly said it was an African American male. She only said it once. But she said male a bunch of times. She kept saying male, emphasizing male. This male was followed by police. This male. I was like, why did you keep saying male? Why not suspect? It's very strange. Why not like suspect or whatever the usual God. Language?
Oh,
right. Yeah, no, it's a really messed up looking
fuck. Thing. I just.
But there was one moment at the end of the press conference, because you could tell also, it's funny when you watch these things in entirety, not just the clip they show you on the news. When you watch them, if not in their entirety, if you watch like a few minutes of it where the reporters are asking questions and she's answering, the reporters were clearly trying to squeeze out of her an identification of a particular classification, like race or relevant classification that they could run with.
Oh, no.
And
man.
She, at the end, actually says, she says male for most of the press conference, but at the very end, she said male, yes, African American male. And she says that, and I'm like, oh, okay. So that was known. Right away, like that was known right away that it was a black, and the media just didn't run with it until a couple of days later.
Well,
so
that's what
I'm looking at.
The local news story that I read, you know, it's actually on Bang. I probably get it. It's like you can tell just from reading it, like there's nobody white involved in the entire story.
Yes, that's the thing. I was reasonably certain it was a black just because it was Philly, and because it was inside of a city,
right.
And because it wasn't like any kind of a target, and also like white people just don't do this very often. Like that's a big myth that this is done by whites. Ock Nation was showing in relation to the Baltimore shooting, niggers that are out there on Instagram saying like white people are doing this. Like the Klan is like sneaking into the hood, wearing masks, and like shooting up niggers.
Yeah,
and so, like then leaving, and that's why they never find who it is.
Well, it's
like,
to be fair, this thing does look like it's wearing some kind of skin suit costume.
Hmm.
So, yes, but
this doesn't look like a human. This is horrifying.
So I went into this local news stories, ABC 6 Action News, and I didn't watch the. There is a video, so maybe that was made it a little more obvious. But just reading through,
I posted a link to a video.
Indiscriminate shooting people motivated the first court hearing Wednesday morning. Sources say they've updated it, so now I can't. I want to see the old version where they weren't telling you who it was or anything, but they were reading like the quotes. They were reading the quotes where it was like a person walking down the street. I'm sorry. They've wrecked this story.
That's fine.
There were some funny quotes in there where you can tell like when a black person is being interviewed by the news and they try to use their words and they just end up like doing the bit from In Living Color, like this spookification of the niggification, they end up doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a way that they throw words in that are too big for what they're trying to say, and that was my guarantee that these are black people. But of course, they've updated the story, so now it's gone.
Additionally, I remember maybe.
Hey, it's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought. And you're in this position, listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? You want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio and how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall?
Maybe it was 2020, 2021 that like you were able to get numbers, and maybe it was all the way back to 2020, but I think it was probably 2021 or whatever. I can't remember. Where you could actually get like total numbers. We were able to actually find headlines of total numbers for the weekend, and they were updating them, and it was getting into the 400s and 500s for 4th of July weekend, and of people shot. That's not necessarily people killed, but people shot. And so I'm like, we're not getting that anymore. Now you just get like a few of the marquee shootings. Like you get the Baltimore one, you get the Philly one. The Baltimore one was like, it was like two killed, 30 wounded. I'm like, okay, that's definitely niggers. They're not even, here's the thing. Here's what's happening. They're not even shooting, mass shooting. They're shootouts.
Yeah.
Where they just bystanders get hit because it's a party. Like niggers just start having these gunfights in the middle of like parties. So that was like a block party in Baltimore. And two group or maybe three or maybe God knows how many groups of ops just started shooting at each other. And so there it is. And yeah, they'll never find.
They'll never find
who it is, even though all those niggers know who it was.
I was worried about the Philly one because they said AR-15 and bulletproof vests with plate carriers and shit. I was like, oh, this is
right.
Might be.
Yeah, so it seemed like that one.
But it's just, now, but it's just a sick tranny.
Here's what Ock Nation was saying, and I'm taking his word on it. He's saying like young niggers on the 4th of July like to go around being assholes with fireworks.
Yeah,
like shooting them off at anybody. And he's like a nigger. He's like, you'll go into a nigger. He's like, now every group, every racial group has kids doing hijinks with fireworks and being kind of obnoxious on the 4th of July. I used to do it when I was a kid, too. But he's like, niggers will go up to you and they'll go up to like a stranger and they'll hold a Roman candle like right to your chest and like fire it off. Like, that's not the kind of shit that I would do. Right. We would do. Now, we would shoot Roman candles at each other, but not at like strangers. But anyway, he was saying like, this is the type of shit young niggers do. And he's like, if you're like a 15, 16-year-old young nigger, like going fucking around with fireworks, if you fuck around with the wrong nigger, he'll just come back and shoot up your entire block.
Yeah.
And so that was his hypothesis on why this tranny nigger did this, is that some kids annoyed him by fucking with him with fireworks. And so he just went and he shot up the whole fucking block. I mean, it's a reasonable hypothesis. We have no evidence. We have no idea. Maybe the tranny was just fucking crazy.
That's what I think. It's like you got crazy tranny shit going on. You can't really like, right, that kind of goes.
But also, like,
we're not going to discuss any of that. We're going to discuss how do we keep guns out of dangerous people's hands?
Well,
like gun violence in this country.
That's easy. That's very easy. Like, don't let black people have guns. Make it illegal for blacks to have guns. Like, if you want to do this,
So every year they talk about like these firearm injuries. How much of that is just niggers?
All.
Like the fireworks, like it's just niggers blowing themselves up.
People injured by fireworks. There's maybe a few here and there. Just like there's a few firearms mishaps here and there that affect white people. But usually, like, you know, this idea, remember this stat that used to always be tossed around by libtards and demon craps? That, like, a gun in the home is, like, much more likely to be used on someone in the home than, like, a perpetrator, like somebody breaking in or something like that. I'm like, how much of that is niggers? And the impression they give you is, like, that ad. Remember that old ad where the kids are smoking weed? And then the kid, like, takes a gun out of his dad's desk. He's like, I'm so high. Nothing can touch me. And then he, like, shoots himself in the head. And it's two white kids. Remember that old, like, don't do drugs ad from, like,
the
80s?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. Anyway, it's kind of a famous one. But they always give you the impression. And I remember I saw one when I was a kid where, like, there was, like, a gun in the house. And, like, the toddler, it's like, a nice middle-class white home. The dad is, like, some, like, nicely dressed, like, collared shirt, khaki pants worker. And he's, like, going into his study. And his little kid's in there, like, look, dad. He's, like, spinning the gun like he's, you know, Roy Rogers or something like that. And then, boom, shoots himself and the dad with the gun that had been lying around the house. And, like, this is how they present it. It's just, like, how they – when they give you ads for, like, burglar alarms, it's, like – yeah, it's always white people robbing niggers in the commercial, right? But
sorry. Whenever we talk about guns in the house, this meme always comes to mind. I have guns in my house for murder. And then he goes to jail. Poor Pat. I think he's out now.
It's like, how much of this is
I wonder how much of that is even accurate anymore. Because it's like, if you think about that, like in the 90s, when we would have been seeing those commercials, like if you've got a gun in your house, it's probably never going to shoot somebody who comes in and robs your house because you're just not in that kind of place.
Right.
But there's a small likelihood that somebody might commit suicide, unfortunately. I don't mean to be morbid, but there's numbers on suicide.
A lot of gun deaths are
suicide. So technically,
most of them are still.
But it's like technically that little stat, that little thing they're running with in their commercial, in their after school special commercial, probably not inaccurate. It just doesn't mean what they're pretending that it means. Like, I remember I think there was a ghost in The Sixth Sense who was like, want to see my dad's gun? And like, now it's a little, I see dead people. It's like just schmaltzy Jewish bullshit about don't have guns. Nowadays, I wonder how like likely it is that you would have to use your weapon against an intruder, because it just seems to be, you know, criminal activity it's more widespread. They own more neighborhoods, blacks. Like they're spread out.
Yeah.
They're like a cluster bomb of criminal activity, and they're more emboldened now because there's no real consequences for what they're doing anymore. Never really was.
Blacks are heavily suburbanized since like the 80s.
Yeah.
Like I remember, you know, they always say like, oh, you think the crime wave now is bad? Well, it's nothing compared to like the 80s, early 90s crime wave. And I'm like, well,
it was very urbanized then. Now it's widespread. I mean, remember, we talked about this during, not Trayvon, the other nigga, Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was that Ferguson?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a suburb of a suburb. It's like, wait a minute, how did it get all the way out here? This isn't in the city of, where was that, Missouri?
Right. St. Louis.
Was it St. Louis? Yeah, it's like, St. Louis, you can watch National Lampoon's Vacation, where they lampoon the idea of, like, you get off the highway in St. Louis, and they just... an organized group of niggers just comes around and steals your hubcaps while you're asking for directions. And
that was funny.
That was funny because it was the truth to it, but everybody understood. But if Clark Griswold had gotten off the exit for Ferguson, he would have been fine. It would have been white picket fences and a, you know, small town flavor. But, you know, 25 years later, it's Murder Park. You know, that's what America like is right now, right? America is Murder Park. The libertarians have gotten it right. It's just you have to be black to play.
And it's just significantly more, blacks are significantly more spread out than during that crime wave. Also, I don't believe them that was definitely worse, because I feel like back then, police kept records of every crime and things, people reported crimes and police actually tried to stop them. And there was actually even like white Democrats like supported the police and supported law enforcement back in those days. Like, right. everybody was like, right. yeah, the crime bill, the super predators, all that shit, right? People were talking about this. It took Jews a while to undermine all of that. And now I think people just don't, I mean, we didn't, from my recollection, we did not have crazy niggers running up and throwing people on the subway tracks on a fairly regular basis. I mean, that happens every 1 or 2 weeks at least, if not more often than that. We did not have that in New York City when I was a kid. That was just not a known thing. If that happened, which maybe it happened once or twice, it was like a big deal because it was such an unusual thing. Now that's like a fairly frequent occurrence. And I just don't believe that. And one of the reasons that they are able to keep these numbers down is because people just don't report shit. If it's not serious enough, people just don't report it. And also, people sometimes just don't report it. And they also, these stats are not in any way accurate because, one, they have admitted that, like, police departments, the FBI collection of the statistic relies on the cooperation of police departments. And they say if they get under 60, something like under like 60% cooperation from police departments reporting back to the feds, they can't accurately compile the stats. So they just don't bother. So it's very difficult to have accurate statistics. So you could compare today's like completely shitty and inaccurate stats with the carefully kept statistics from back then. You'd be like, oh, look, it's not as bad. But like, I just don't believe it. I just don't believe you. I think it's much worse now because I remember those days. I'm old enough that I remember them. And it wasn't, I mean, everybody knew black people committed crime. Even like growing up, I always knew that. It was not hidden from me. Or it wasn't hidden. It was hidden from me, but it, like, nobody told me, but the results of my eyes were obvious. I could tell that that's what it was.
Yeah.
But,
we did it. We did a By the Numbers episode and we were doing some digging on air, like in real time, trying to look at homicide statistics. It's interesting.
If you're hearing my voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted, that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in? Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. It could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it? Because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription. And then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm feeling it or something.
That the United States has a worse homicide rate now than Russia. Like, we traded places on that.
I'm surprised that Russia was even in the running for homicide. Yeah, I mean, does this not include war deaths?
No, this is they have had a historically relatively high homicide rate, but we have a worse homicide rate. Ours seems to just be getting worse every year. Because America's a failing state.
Oh yeah, America's a significantly failed. I mean, internally, America's failed. I mean.
Yet again, that's kind of funny, right? Like, oh, you know, all those Russians and, you know, their despotic, failed, authoritarian state over there. It's like, yeah, but you guys have all the murders here. This is the
well,
place
also,
that is materially.
Do the Russian authorities enforce the law?
Yeah.
Like, if they can't. I mean, there's parts of Russia that are the Wild West because it's like 1/6 of the Earth's surface. It's hard to maintain control over all of that. But, like, if you were in a – here's the thing. In Russia, I'll bet you, like, law enforcement in cities is pretty tight. I'll bet you that the police will be pretty active in those cities.
Especially if you're an anti-war protester, right? Ah!
Well, that's their business, not mine.
Well, I'm just saying, like, they're not a failed state, so they don't allow that.
Well, the fact that they can
they don't
that
allow
they can
like
project
Jewish
force over their main cities.
Well,
I mean,
a Jewish NGO starts meddling in their foreign policy and tries to drum up like public fucking discontent, and they put it down. Sounds like not, doesn't sound like a failed state to me.
Well, here's my thing. I will bet you that, and I could, I'm open to challenges on this. I will bet you that St. Petersburg is probably the most beautiful and whitest city in the world. Not to say that there aren't other beautiful cities in Europe, but the most beautiful with a with a overwhelmingly white population.
Does Russia have a problem where niggers destroy their cities and then the government decides to just let the city fall in on itself and they just abandon the city?
No.
Because that's definitely an American thing. We have a word for it. It's a failed city.
Russia doesn't seem to have like a destroy the country like policy going on like we do.
No.
No.
I mean, isn't it a bit curious that you would just let a city just fall in on itself?
Multiple cities. I mean, this is the thing. It's like when Peter Zeihan and others, when Peter Zeihan and others talk about Russia or really any other foreign regime, and they say failed this, failed that, whatever, like whatever their judgments of these foreign governments are, it's like in the United States, the marquee cities, the top most important cities, New York, Washington, L.A., San Francisco, Chicago, all of them are absolute fucking nightmares. They're nightmares for the public that live in them. I mean, San Francisco's streets are filled with shit. There's like AIDS-ridden fucking intravenous drug users wandering the streets like accosting people. New York City, like the black problem. Chicago is a constant shooting gallery. Baltimore, forget about it. It's just not even a thing. Washington, D.C., other than the government sector, is a no-go zone. I mean, it is – and your own citizens, like from the perspective of an American citizen, you as somebody who grew up – was born in this country, grew up in this country for reasons of both cost and safety, you cannot go and visit the marquee cities in your own country. You can't go and visit and look at and enjoy the most important cities in your own country. The place where all the history and the architecture, like Philly. Look at Philly.
For
Philly's another bet. Philly's is like one of the first city, the Declaration of Independence, Constitution Hall, all that shit. That place is a fucking shooting gallery.
And they also have an entire, like, they also have, like, a New Amsterdam, like, district that just allow heroin addicts to just sleep on the, they have, like, a mini San Francisco. Kensington, yeah, I was scrolling through, because I searched
Kensington
Philadelphia.
Kensington is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, because I searched Philadelphia to find the news on the mass shooting, and it just, it's always going to happen. You get one of those videos where someone just walks around Kensington, I couldn't remember the name of it, and just films people in their drug-addled misery. And it's just like, this is just, And what I've seen, people from Philadelphia get mad when that gets shown online. It's like, oh, that's just Kensington. It's like there's some honor in the fact that like you've just surrendered that entire area to these people.
Okay, and, so yeah, don't judge the whole city. Area of your city is gone.
Yeah, don't judge the entire city based on this bullshit. You know, like this is just
it's not like it happened last week. Like this has been an ongoing discussion for decades in this country. Mm-hmm. I found a sweet hit of bias confirmation article called "United States of Failed Cities." They mentioned that Bob Simon. Remember Bob Simon from 60 Minutes?
Oh God.
He described Detroit. He's like, he probably is. He said that Detroit reminded him of Mogadishu. Worst place I've ever been.
Well, the funny thing is Detroit is just like, they're just giving up on it. Like nature is reclaiming significant portions of Detroit. Like it's just,
I mean, we can't even name all the cities that have come apart. Toledo, Scranton.
Find that any city. I'm telling you, once you get to the like over 100,000 threshold, it's almost impossible to find a place that doesn't have a significant nigger crime problem. Portland. Portland is a fucking mess. Portland is falling apart. You know, like one time, one of these like super white cities. One time, you know, at first it was like a place in the 80s where like skinheads and Nazis hung out. And then like Antifa took it over. But now it's just like,
These people are such pussy. Like, you're allowed to say nigger on Twitter now, you know.
What? Are you?
But yeah, they just, they say your tweet now has limited visibility. Like, you don't lose your account anymore.
Oh.
Every tweet now has limited visibility, though. Didn't they? Didn't he, like,
oh, yeah,
limit,
right.
Didn't he, like, rate
the rate
limit?
Yeah,
unless
yeah.
You're, if
that's
you're
not
what
subscribed.
I meant.
Like, these people that get in these threads now, like, you can't even, like, have a health thread properly. Like, these libtards would be like, oh, it's the guns, America, and they post whatever dumb meme about countries that don't have mass shootings because they don't have niggers. And it's like, you get, no, it's because they're mentally ill people. It's like, no, it's because it's blacks.
I mean, if you want to just, like, use that as a euphemism for black people. I
they
mean,
don't. They literally don't because they love black people. Like, remember, it's conservatives that they just love them. Like, someone was saying, like, this black tranny was posting, like, Trump-related gun shit. And it's like, how could you? I don't even know he's a conservative. I'm like, well, he might be a conservative. I mean, a black tranny is the most coveted fucking, like, you know, token that you could throw into the conservative movement right now. They want that guy really bad. So
that's I'm kind really of curious, yeah, how they determined this guy was pro-Trump, because I didn't see anything in the Daily Mail article I read that indicates that, but maybe he was. I'm not saying he wasn't. He probably was.
What I saw was two posts of, like, Second Amendment-type apparel.
Yes, he clearly was like a gun guy.
Liked guns. I didn't see Trump stuff, but like, well, we like the NJP's being called Trump supporters because somebody was handing out flyers at a Trump rally.
Yes,
this is like these people who don't understand politics or anything, like, they process that as like, oh, here's like a faction of Trump supporters.
Well,
that want
the
these
funniest,
things. Like,
I wanted to talk about that. For a bit. Have, so we did,
but it's like, the point being is like, if you have a vaguely non-liberal opinion on anything, they just process you as like, oh, you're just a Trump tard, you're just ultra MAGA, you're a MAGA white supremacist. Yeah. Even though like there's nothing in MAGA about white supremacy or anything, like they're just as liberal as you are. They just present it differently, but that's kind of like how they process things. So a tranny posting Second Amendment apparel because the tranny fantasizes about shooting people because it's black and a tranny and wants to shoot people that aren't black and tranny, or people that are black and aren't trannies because it gets made up. That to them, that means like Trump supporting apple pie American patriot, which is just like, it's because you're politically illiterate and you know, like, yeah, the truth of this would be probably bad for you. This is on you, black tranny supporter. So that's kind of how they do that.
Well, we had guys hand out flyers at Trump rallies, and now we actually didn't do the bit. We made sure people weren't wearing masks because that's kind of a thing. We're like, if you wear masks, you're going to, you might as well not do it, right? Because right, you're going to immediately trigger the defenses of these. But when you don't wear masks, they're actually quite receptive.
Yeah.
And, you know, our guys were saying, yeah, like a lot of people took it and looked at it and said thanks. And they're kind of in a political mood. They're at a political type rally. So they're willing to look at your stuff. And we've gotten a fairly significant bump in website traffic from those flyers, but I'm actually thinking that the bump might more likely be from people who took a flyer than from all the people talking about it on Twitter. So there were two tweets that both got over a million impressions about the thing, and that's impressive, but I'd be willing to bet, and I have to check how much. Well, first of all, we wouldn't get any references from Twitter because you can't link to our site from Twitter. And so any traffic that we got would be direct traffic of people typing in the URL. Nonetheless, we got about twice our normal peak traffic over the weekend from the action and interest generated by these flyers. But which is good. That's good. So it's like you hand out a flyer, you get a million impressions on Twitter, you double your traffic on the website. Like, that's just the level of attrition that you're dealing with in terms of eyes on something. But I think it's just,
Oh, you don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month, unless you're using, like, e-checks. Then there's some extra fees, because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. The point is, we need your support. You can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content, these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use Z-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when, because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription.
Generally good to get that exposure, because people are talking about it. Our name gets out there more. More people know that we're out there. But one of the funny things from Liptards on Twitter, the horrified responses of Liptards, where they're like, oh, they want national health care. Oh, their donors won't like that. And I'm like, I'm not even going to explain it to you. Like, I don't even feel the need to explain this to you. Right? Like, they just don't, they don't understand. You're absolutely right. These libtards do not understand anything. Anything Republican Party and to the right is just the Republican Party. Like, the average libtard. Now, there are some like, high, like the Jews and whatever, and the higher up, like, commentators in the New York Times, like, which is just Jews. They understand this, but, like, the average dumbass, like, Ukraine flag, gay flag, Ukraine flag, libtard Twitter profile, many of whom are possibly even bots at this point. I mean, who the fuck knows? They don't get it. They don't even think about it. Like, oh, look at that. And then they're like, some of them were like, oh, this is, trust me, the best ones were people like, this is scary. And the reason they say it's scary is funny. The reason they say it's scary is because they see, like, they're ditching fiscal conservatism, right? Like, fiscal conservatism is thrown in the trash. There was one guy who said something like, trust me, this is what Trump supporters actually want. He's like, I know plenty of Trump supporters in my life. And he's like, they don't give a damn about, like, taxes. They all want welfare. They all want health care. But they also want to keep blacks and LGBT in their place. So, like, this is actually now the synthesis of what these people
So they want universal health care. Yeah. So wouldn't you want some kind of strategic alliance to get universal health care, that not just be a net positive for everybody?
Well,
that assertion is true.
The whole point of the that being a divisive issue is that nobody gets it. Like, the way Jews set up this two-party system is so that that doesn't get, like, partisan issues that become partisan don't really ever achieve success.
America is an interesting country. It's like, if there's anything positive, but the bad guys want it, the opposing team wants it, doesn't matter if it's positive for me, none of us are going to get it.
Right, right. Well, the funny thing is that what is interesting is that this is just the testimony of one person who says that they live in a rural area, or their family are Trump supporters, or whatever they were saying. They're saying, like, I live in an area with lots of Trump supporters. I don't know where that would be. Exurb, somewhere, suburb.
I saw some Trump support yesterday. It was sad.
Yeah. But the thing is this, that this person's saying that, and they're saying, trust me, these people actually want healthcare and welfare. And one of the things they've actually found on surveys that are not partisanly tinged, right? Surveys that don't have a partisan thing. They're just asking people, like, the kinds of things they want. One of the most popular things amongst working class white people, without giving away any political affiliation, is the idea of a federal job guarantee. In other words, a guarantee they won't get fired, or that there will be a job for them no matter what. I didn't actually know, and here's the thing, I'm actually, like, when we get this kind of data, I'm always tempted to, like, slightly revise our platform. You know, that's something we'd have to decide, but, like, put something like that in there, like a job guarantee, because that seems to be, the funny thing is, one of the things that Jews help out with is they do these public opinion surveys, and they find the types of things that people react well to. The idea of jobs guarantee, that's something, because think about the precarity levels that the average working white person in America lives with. And when I say, like, again, the old idea of, like, factory workers, extraction industry workers, blue collar workers and such, like, there is that, and those people want their jobs guaranteed. But increasingly, a lot of poor and working class white people are working retail jobs. They're working service jobs. And that is a high level of precarity in those jobs, and you don't make very much money. And these people are desperately afraid that even the amount of money that they're going to make is going to get cut off. Even if they vote Republican or Democrat or Bernie or Trump or Hill or whoever the fuck they might vote for, or they probably don't vote at all. But, like, that's the thing that they most want out of the government, is a guarantee that they'll be employed, that they'll have an income. And it's funny that that is phrased in terms of job guarantee, because I'll tell you one thing, that's not a demand that niggers have. Niggers don't want a job guarantee. They want a welfare guarantee. They want money. But white people, they connect money to work. So they're like, I want to always know I'll be able to work and earn money. So that's what they want. And so, yes, that would be considered socialism. right? Like the the kind of ideologues that support the Ron DeSantis campaign or the Trump campaign, they would be like, that's a socialist idea. That's socialism. A job guarantee? That's socialism. But people want that. They, you know, they want to know, like, look, I don't want my life to be ruined by, like, these ebbs and flows and vicissitudes of this fucking bullshit fake country and its bullshit fucking gay economy. Like, I want to know I'll always be able to work and feed myself and my family. Well, so,
see, if everybody has this, like, this job guarantee and everybody can just be, like, mediocre, and how would there still be an avenue open for me to, like, bootstrap myself into getting one over on all these mediocre people so that I can lay around and be a lazy fuck? And how dare you say fuck my
small
business?
If there's a job guarantee, like, how can I elevate myself?
I need to be able to like hire like three or four of these rubes that just want a job guarantee for like no money and no benefits to go out and do jobs that like I line up, but then I sit down with my feet up and have nothing to do with.
Well, how can I become like as high class as, say, a member of like the Tate family, where I can like go to Romania and like exploit women so that I can sit around like smoking a cigar where like half of my face doesn't move when I talk and, you know, kick my feet up and get people fired from their Uber job for criticizing one of my cam whores for taking an Uber. Did that guy have a stroke at some point? Did all the roids that he takes give him a fucking stroke? Or does he have a genetic disorder? Because
well, he's a genetic disorder, isn't he?
Not
like
to like switch topics, but I was actually like watching that video. I was like, yo, is something fucking wrong with this guy? Why is only half of his face move?
Women have cooties.
Have you noticed this?
You can pay for cooties.
I'm not going to talk about the Jews. Maybe if you stop talking about the Jews, you could have the status that I have. Meanwhile, that guy's heart is going to explode from steroid use any minute now. But like, I'm seriously wondering, like, if the steroids gave him a stroke, because literally only half of his face moves.
I've never
he
watched.
He talks out of the side of his mouth. You didn't notice that? I noticed it immediately. I was like, dude,
never
this guy
really
has
his
disorder.
The only time I ever watched his content was that time on the show here. We were laughing at that like Star Wars bit that he did.
Oh,
I've never seen
his
content before.
About his brother, whose name is like Tristan, did a video over the weekend. He looks—he's got a similar weird, fucked up face, but like, and he looks like—he's
the one that has hair.
It's not immediately messed up. It's like when you look at him, first of all, you don't immediately see something wrong, but as soon as he talks, like Andrew Tate's whole face moves when he talks. His brother only like half of his face moves, which leads me to think the roid use probably gave him a stroke or something. Because, like, he did a video where he was yelling at people that kept asking him and demanding that he talk about the Jews. And he did one where he then berated them for being, like, basement-dwelling losers who won't ever achieve the status that he has. And, of course, he's smoking, like, a huge cigar in it. He's everything these people do is try hard. Like, make sure I have my whiskey glass with ice and my huge cigar before I go on camera. It's so fucking lame. And he's like, you think I'm afraid to discuss this issue? And, like, literally, his face isn't moving. Like, only half of it. It's really fucked up. It's very strange.
Wait,
it gives me the weird vibes, and I just can't explain this.
He's not in jail? I thought these guys were in
jail.
No,
this is his younger brother.
Tristan? I thought they were both
Tristan
in jail.
Tate.
I thought they both did the thing. I don't know.
He did some video. I don't know. Who knows what? I saw it going around this weekend. People were laughing at it, and I looked at it for a few seconds. I was like, yo, this guy has got some fucked up disorder, or he had a stroke. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. But yeah, so... But the point is, back to the flyering, I guess, and the reacts. The reacts are interesting. Now, you get the conservatives who say these people aren't conservatives, and we're like, yes, okay, that's you've made an accurate observation about reality. Nobody wants to pretend that they're conservative. Then liberals who actually don't understand it. And one of my favorite things liberals are saying is, like, they're saying the quiet part out loud. And I'm like,
you think that this is the actual political inclination of conservatives?
Yes, that was a big thing I've seen.
That seems to be the implication, because I'm like, quiet part for who? For Ron DeSantis?
Yes. I saw a ton of that where they think that like the NJP platform is the super super duper secret platform of Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. There was one guy in there like, I don't know about this declaring Israel.
Hey everybody, Jordan Peterson here. I wrote a book about 12 rules for how to live your life, and I have a 13th rule for you. Subscribe to TRS. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your needs.
But Rose, the Trump, you know, the Trumps have been nothing but pro-Israel the entire. I'm like, there's one, like, there's like one in there who was like a just like confused libtard. So it's very funny.
The dissonance actually hit for this guy.
For one, but everybody else just like rolls along, just go right by it, a little bump in the road.
Well, for libtards, they don't get it. But the funniest thing was then there was apparently a couple of long threads on like Daily Kos, and someone sent me a link to some other site where the libtards had gotten a hold of this and they were debating it. And one of the funniest things on those kinds of forums, they get a little bit more in depth in the discussion than you do on Twitter. And they were all talking about how they liked half of it, but like hated the other half. And, or how like the other, how it's dangerous. This is the thing. This is my favorite thing. It's dangerous. And one of the most gratifying things to see is when a libtard says, I hate this, but it's dangerous, because basically it's not any longer doing the bit of combining the cultural stuff with like toxic conservative economic policy, right? It's actually combining. It's like the kinds of things that working class white people actually want. Social and economic policy. And so it's like, yes, people want the government to take care of them, and they also want the government to not let like trannies and niggers make everything unsafe and run the culture and make everything degenerate and disgusting. Yes, that's what people want. They would like a government that says, we'll make sure you always have a job and an income and are taken care of should a health emergency strike, and we're not going to let trannies and niggers overrun your culture and your cities and turn your area into degenerate crime-infested shitholes. Like, that's...
Isn't this what we defeated in the Cold War?
Well, that's why we nuked... We had to nuke Japan to make sure none of these things ever happened. So, yeah. I mean, that's where it is. So... And frankly, the only reason you find any of this shocking or any of this upsetting is because you're an NPC, to use that old phrase, that has been so, taken in by Jewish media party dichotomies and false consciousness identifications with a political party, that you no longer can actually think in terms of what you actually in your own real life want versus like your party's platform or owning the other side or whatever, right? Which is a major way that Jews control systems is by setting up, by just making it team sports, right? Like, think about this. You wouldn't be a fan of sports if there was only ever one team. It would be pointless, right? The reason people like sports is because there's more than one team, and those teams compete. One wins, one loses, and you get to always have bragging rights if yours loses or yours wins. But politics isn't supposed to be that way. Politics is supposed to be actually taking care of the country. Then you can watch your team sports, they made politics a team sport, and therefore that's what it is. And that's why also, like, you know, once you win victories, they don't really mean anything. I mean, the abortion victory didn't particularly change the outcomes of that much. And that's why they were given it. Now we're yet to see what happens with affirmative action and with some of these other rulings. And Ron DeSantis, you know, speaking of this, Ron DeSantis fans might say, but Mike, Ron DeSantis just signed, this is another thing that happened over the weekend, Ron DeSantis signed like 300 bills over the weekend, and some of them went into force immediately, some of them go into force somewhere down the road a few months or maybe next year or something, I don't know. But many of them were based, for example, the ban on teaching kids about tranny stuff has been extended from the third grade now to the eighth grade. So you can't talk about tranny stuff until high school now.
Oh, man.
Additionally, there are certain there were certain bans on so-called critical race theory. I'd have to look exactly at the laws. But one of them, very interestingly, was Florida will not honor driver's licenses given to undocumented immigrants from another state. And they were trying to get some kind of trucker protest against this. But I'm like, so are you telling me that there are trucks on the road driven by illegal immigrants? But in fact, I looked this up and they're saying, no, you can't get a CCL unless You are, in fact, a legal resident. It is impossible.
Yeah, yeah. You should be able to get a CDL with all the
yeah, CDL, documentation. CDL, sorry. Yeah. But there are, I think, like lower tier trucks that you can that they have undocumented immigrants driving. But not like 18 wheelers, but you know, I don't even know what do you
yeah,
need to
yeah,
drive
yeah,
like
a box truck. Trucks and shit like that. Yeah, the problem.
You don't need a CDL
certainly.
For that, right? Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah. But there's a but the thing is, here's my thing. I don't think that law is going to last. Because I think that that's something that they're going to immediately challenge and the courts are just going to throw it out like they did. They had like something simple. Like they have a precedent from California. Who knows? But the thing is, my main thing is the reason that they're doing this in Florida. And Stryker had an article on the NJP site about how all of these bans on tranny surgeries, operations, pitching this stuff to them, all of this stuff gets overturned by courts. Like when they pass these laws. All of these stuff, and oftentimes it's conservative judges that do it. And even said there's this one Trump appointee judge who gave a long lecture about how trans rights are human rights and all this shit after laying down the decision, blocking the law. And so the reason they're doing this, in my view, is just so DeSantis can just like own Trump. So you'd be like, oh yeah, well you didn't do anything about trannies, illegal immigrants, all this crap. I did, and look at Florida. Look at all these
There's
laws.
There's something
we passed,
they were you know? Doing with Trump. The DeSantis campaign was basically saying that Trump was pro-gay.
Yeah, and in order to prove it, they showed images of this Ron DeSantis was like male bodybuilders, like greased up male bodybuilders in some ad, which is really funny. But like, look, the Thiel Right, the Peter Thiel sponsored Right is just openly homoerotic now. It's just like openly, like it's all about like greased up male bodybuilders and shit like that. It's very strange. But look, we should actually see if we can find that ad because I only read about
it. Yeah, I'm looking for it right now.
Pete Buttigieg was A-logging it, saying it's really strange for Ron DeSantis to promote himself as anti-LGBT in an ad where he appears next to like greased up bodybuilders. And like, I have to grant that that's a good point.
This is
I have to grant that. But
let's see here. DeSantis campaign shares video slamming Trump's past vow to protect LGBTQ rights.
Right. So the thing is, this is a strategy because they know people hate
Show me the
this
video.
Stuff. Yeah, they know people hate this.
Ah, it's from the DeSantis War Room account on Twitter. I got it.
You got it? Okay, cool. Can we actually look at it if we don't have Twitter? Oh, I think there. Sven has a Twitter account, so let's see.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they gave up Twitter again. Good job, Elon. Yeah.
No, I'm happy he did it. Break that fucking dumb website. I can't wait for it to go away. Like
gay bird website.
No, the best thing about Twitter is that it's failing. Like, engagement is down, and I'm happy. Like, kill it. Just kill it.
I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens.
If Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses.
That is correct.
In the future, can transgender women compete in Miss Universe?
Yes.
Make America great again.
Psych!
Okay. So they're just, yeah. They got Patrick Bateman in there? All right. Why does it keep pausing? Is that Twitter? What are we doing?
Okay, so we're celebrating Ron DeSantis signing his
bathroom.
Okay. I see the contrast. All right. All right. I got some comments over here.
Well,
Charles...
I want to watch. Is the video over?
I cannot think of anything more horrifying.
It really has shut down drag.
Just produced some of the harshest, most draconian laws that literally threaten trans existence.
Congratulations, Ron DeSantis. Mission accomplished. You win.
Oh. Was I muted while I was talking? Ha ha ha. I was going, does he have a license to use any of these memes? Like, he's using Giga Chads and Christian Bales and Peaky Blinders, all this stuff.
What's with the greased up nigger?
I fucking hate America so much.
Oh, hi, guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption. Not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders. You can use crypto. You can use e-checks. You can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now.
Well, here's the thing. I think this is not something that's on TV. This is on Twitter, right?
It's on Twitter, but this is associated.
It's all memes, yeah. I mean, it's they're using the meme language, the language of memes that have been developed on the right wing internet space over the last many years.
Trump fires back.
And
big fucking mistake. Like this meme war is raging, bros.
But it's gonna come out on top. It feels
it's not
so
2016. This shit is fucking cringe.
Now that Ron DeSantis is like using GigaChad and all that shit, it's just like, bro. Like,
did you notice that clip
dead yet?
It
also
had
yes, he's using the yes meme. All that shit.
Here's a funny thing: if you watch that clip though, they use the bit where Ron DeSantis is laughing.
Yes,
you
know, they're masculinizing his.
The
gay
one
laugh,
that
yes.
we have made fun of.
Yeah, they're really
everybody's
crazy,
made fun
like,
of it. We're not the only ones, dude. Yeah. Everybody made fun of that. Liptards made fun of it. That was a huge. That became a meme unto itself. Is his weird gay laugh, or his just? It's not even gay. It's just like not human. Like no, do human beings act like this? Like I don't know. It doesn't seem so. But
anyway, I got a quote from Charles Moran. Charles Moran, president of the Log Cabin Republicans.
Get a brain.
Oh, yeah, God.
Told CNN on Sunday he wants an explanation or acknowledgement from the DeSantis campaign. And the video was the wrong message. It's tone deaf. It's not representative of where the Republican Party is.
That's probably
true. Conservative movement. Their attacks are totally misplaced, said Moran, a delegate for Trump in 2016 and 2020 from California, who praised the former president for creating an inclusive place for gay Republicans. Yeah, I got to agree with him, though.
Yeah,
I do
no,
agree.
He's right. That's not where the Republican Party is, for
right,
certain.
That sorry, I didn't mean to be rude.
You weren't. I said that's where the Republican Party is for certain.
Okay. Well,
he goes on to say though, I'm not going to give up on Ron DeSantis, but I mean they're going to have to meet us halfway somewhere. And right now, I'm not seeing any
halfway to the truck stop bathroom or like halfway to the the gay club. Like what is he talking about?
Well, why aren't our log Republicans?
Say A-Log Republicans.
Our A-Log Cabin Republicans. A-Log Cabin,
that's pretty good. A-Log Cabin Republicans, I'm writing that down.
That might have to be like a showtime.
Not bad, it's not bad.
So, we're just people are going to be mad that we've ruined A-Log, but it's just like...
I hate the conservative inclination and proclivity to just be ineffectual and retarded at all times.
Well, here's the thing.
Let me finish this real fast. In response to the online criticism, Christina Pushaw, the rapid response director of the DeSantis War Room Twitter account, said on Friday that Pride Month was unnecessary, divisive, and pandering. She goes on to say, opposing the federal recognition of Pride Month isn't homophobic. We wouldn't support a month to celebrate straight people for sexual orientation.
Why not? Just admit, yeah, it's all homophobic, and that's the natural state of human beings is to be homophobic. I hate the way these people, they fucking cut their balls off at every turn. Every time they need to make a point, a political point, they just neuter themselves. Like, oh, it's not homophobic. It's like, yes, it is. And it's
but
good.
But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing what they do. Is they're playing with this idea that like they use the egalitarian rhetoric against the system, right? So the system uses egalitarian rhetoric to actually promote an unequal system where blacks,
yes.
trannies, and faggots mm-hmm. are above the other citizens. Yep. This is obvious to everybody. So what the Republicans are doing is owning them on their own pretense of egalitarianism and saying like we should actually be egalitarians. And the problem is this dialectic only ever moves it in the direction of the supremacy of non-whites and non-heterosexuals.
I would never do a traditional family month. Ha ha, libtards owned.
But it's like, but why not? What they say is like
I'm owning the
every month though. Is traditional family. It's like, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. Every month is White History Month. Every month is traditional. No, it's not. But also, like, every month is MLK Jr. History Month in school, if you go to a public school in America. But the other thing is, like, see, here's the thing. If we have a real society, of a real people with a real history, none of this stuff is a problem. Because it's just, you do history. You just do the history of your country. You do the history of the world with a focus on your own country, whatever. You do pride in your own traditions. You do your own holidays. Like, it doesn't, you don't have to do this. And so the pretense of egalitarian, the conservatives are just owning them on the pretense of egalitarianism, which everybody gets, but that never actually moves the needle. And when they do move the needle, like Ron DeSantis passed some laws that seemingly move the needle, but those are going to get thrown out by courts, and it's all kayfabe to own Donald Trump in the primaries, to say things, to say.
Yeah, that's a sad thing, yeah.
And of course,
that's the thing, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, you can, you think, you theorize that by going hard against the gay and trans movement, you can win a Republican primary. Therefore, like, keep calling it undemocratic. Obviously, the voice of the people is they don't like this stuff. But Jews, like, recognize you can win a Republican primary that way, but it has to be stopped after that. So, all right, we'll just pass a bunch of weird legislation in the state where our candidate's governor, and then we'll just fold it. We'll just roll that up afterwards after the obstacle.
It's all been rolled up. Like, many of those things have already been rolled up.
Yeah.
By courts, like, they just don't talk about that. They just don't tell you that. So they'll continue to ride on the on the fact that, like, DeSantis passed them without telling you that the courts have already thrown them out, some of them, and they're going to throw out more of them. It's just taking a little while. And even that immigrant one, like, that's the thing. It's, what's funny is DeSantis isn't just doing the gay thing. He's also supposedly doing the immigrant thing. So he's gotten money to deport immigrants to other parts of America, to send them, like, what these Republicans are doing, like, sending them to other states. And see, Democrats say that's racist because they're sending them to cities with black mayors. Like, well, that's because all these fucking ruined cities have black mayors now. Blacks just always win elections in these fucking, like, gutted, ruined husks of cities that we
don't
have.
Even get me started on the police chief.
Right. They also all have black police chiefs.
Wasn't it abroad in Philadelphia? Names like her last name's like Outlaw or something.
Outlaw,
like that.
Yeah, Outlaw. Yeah. She's a mulatto woman who's
nigga Outlaw.
So I wonder how her family acquired that last name. But so, I mean, it's not a traditional African. Maybe it is a traditional African last name.
She's from Cuckfield. The Outlaw family of Cuckfield.
So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's just very funny to observe all of these things. And yeah, the DeSantis thing, trust me, that's that. And that ad kind of gives it away. It's memes. It's memes.
Yeah.
It's Giga Chad and, like, yes memes going against, like, Donald Trump glowing eye memes. That's how it's playing out on Twitter. This is why Twitter is fucking irrelevant. Like, that ad didn't go to TVs. That's not how Ron DeSantis is presenting himself on television. That's a Twitter thing. That's like, literally probably a Peter Thiel funded group with some of these fucking geniuses from, like, the Twitter meme sphere that are now BAP, I believe, is, like, supporting Trump, although they're, like, stealing some of his aesthetics. But Thiel funds both BAP and, like, non-BAP stuff. Like, he's behind both of them, right? Because he's mainly interested in so that's the other thing. They'll say, like, why is a gay man funding this? Well, because he doesn't take any.
Even this just being like an online Twitter thing, you've still got this woman from the DeSantis war room backpedaling furiously.
Right. Probably because
the tiniest little bit of pushback, like, whoa, I'm not homophobic.
Well, it's probably because that was because that account is probably, like, run collectively by the campaign, and they have some people on staff who are, like, fucking edgy meme lords, and they make this stuff knowing it's going to appeal to a certain audience. But then when they get pushback coming from the top, they have the official spokesperson say these kinds of things. But you will get people. And you will get people that will maintain that this is still a brilliant fucking strategy. That this is a brilliant strategy. Yeah, like, it's like, say, it's like, reveal the stuff to, like, the meme community, but then kind of play fast and loose with, like, the official community. It's like, yeah, but which is going to win in the end? Like, which is going to win? Like, if Ron DeSantis becomes president, what do you think is going to happen? Do you really think any of this shit's going to become national policy? No, it'll be a fucking nightmare. Probably what will happen if Ron DeSantis becomes president, we'll probably just go to a war with Iran, which is probably why I think Jews are fucking, like, supporting him so hard, is because they want, that's the outcome that they want. Incidentally, they actually Jews did a thing kind of quietly over the weekend. Speaking of Iran, they had this guy whose name was it was like Mark. God damn it, I can't remember the guy's name. Anyway, he's half Jewish actually. He was a top diplomat, an envoy to Iran, who was engaged in secret but not so secret talks with the Iranians to try and revive that nuclear deal.
Well, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't, because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Tag it.
And he was part of Biden's, he was part of Obama's administration and part of crafting Rob Malley. The guy's name is Rob Malley. He's half Jewish. He was part of Obama's campaign, part of crafting the original Iran deal. And then he was not part of the Biden campaign, but then in 2021 he was named special envoy.
The Iran deal it was so weak. But America,
right. It was very weak,
humiliating.
So he was then tasked with trying to revive this, or being in talks with the Iranians to bring the thing back or whatever. And they kind of ramped up those talks when the Iranians got their hypersonic missile and when they started giving weapons to Russia and stuff, because they kind of want to put some kind of kibosh on that using either diplomacy or whatever the fuck. In any case, the neocon, the hardcore faction of Jews, got their way once again. It's amazing how the most extreme faction of Jews always ends up outmaneuvering the moderate faction. And so this guy Malley just was relieved 2 days ago, or actually it was revealed that he had been relieved a couple weeks ago from his post for so-called mishandling classified documents. So now there's just so the one guy in the State Department who was trying to get this deal back on track, this diplomacy with Iran back on track, he's fired and he's under investigation. And that's just another big neocon win. And you know it is, because some of the most ferocious neocons, as soon as it happened, they're like, thank God Rob Malley is gone. Rob Malley was like a symbol of weakness. He was a pro-Iranian. He's like anti-American. He wants to do a diplomacy. He wants to cut a deal. Like, we can't do that. We have to never do these things. Thank God that he's gone and we use some fucking bad faith classified document investigation in order to just kick this guy out. Probably nothing will actually happen to him, but they just wanted him gone. And of course, you know, then Ted Cruz comes out and he wishes everybody a happy 4th of July.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Did you see this?
Yes. Holy shit.
So
let me see if I can find it real quick.
I got it. I put it in the chat. I could even just recite it though from memory, but let's see if you can find it.
Yeah, I'm going to find it.
I can get the link, because I got the link right here. So I'll post it here so we can take a look. Ted Cruz comes out.
Funny how you already buried this tweet under a bunch of other inane prattle. It's almost like there was.
Yeah, but let's just look at this one, okay? So here's how our elites, here's how top people in our system celebrate the 4th of July.
So today is also the 47th anniversary of the Daring Entebbe raid. I was only 5 at the time, but I remember being inspired by the amazing courage of the IDF team that rescued the hostages and killed the terrorists. I thought, that's a very Texan foreign policy.
Because, you know, when I think 4th of July,
yeah,
I think about an Israeli commando raid on an African country.
Yeah.
And it brings a tear to my eye to think about that. I think about the courage and bravery of these kike soldiers raiding these niggers at the Entebbe airport in Uganda. So, we don't need to go into the whole history of the Entebbe raid. Basically, I think
this is what came to mind while I was flipping burgers yesterday and cracking beers. I mean, this is like, pour one out for the.
Oh, dude, yeah. As I think about the Star Spangled Banner, the Stars and Stripes, the brave revolutionary soldiers overthrowing the redcoats. You know, our guys, our Minutemen out there picking off the redcoats in the woods. You know,
you seriously can't say Happy Fourth without mentioning Israel. That's pretty funny.
What is this one? What's the stone toss?
Sides of APAC.
Russia must stop meddling in our elections. It's an APAC speech on APAC.
That's good. That's solid. Yeah, no, Ted Cruz was getting pretty much owned constantly for this. Because...
Come on, man.
That's actually pretty good. Oh, that's actually good. Like, look at how much he's dedicated.
There you go.
See, there that's the thing. I mean,
Teddy yeah, in this small is the thing. Hat.
If I were Jews, what is that? What is Edom mean saying?
Mm.
Oh, they've got him talking about Edom. No idea. Actually, I think is one of the most unfairly alogged people in history. But yeah. So basically, I'm actually kind of curious to see what Idi Amin has to say there, because that guy's usually pretty base. But that's okay. We can press forward if you don't want to show it. That's okay.
The problem is I give you a screen to watch. You're a horrible screen watcher. Like, I was scrolling past that because it's a minute-long video with no subtitles.
Oh, he's speaking in English.
Yeah, but I have no idea what he's going to say.
He's going to be... Oh, boo, 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 boo.
Yeah, exactly. He's not gonna be owning Ted Cruz, so I don't, you know, we'll just move
oh,
right past
no,
it.
He's gonna be saying some pretty anti-Semitic shit, though. I'll tell you that much. But that's okay. Yeah. I've watched Idi Amin videos. He's usually pretty based. But I mean, he definitely does not like the kikes.
No.
That's for sure. Even though he was trained in Israel as a paratrooper. Or he was trained in Africa by Israelis as a paratrooper.
Never seen you post about the 67 confirmed intentional attack on the USS Liberty by Israel.
See,
that's good stuff.
No, he never has.
No, he never posted about that. Israel is owned by the United States.
Who is saying that? Is that, it's like a Noam Chomsky that a wild
Israel
Noam
is
Chomsky
owned by the United States?
Yes, it's like a wild Noam Chomsky appeared in this thread, like one of these people that tries to cope by saying that, by saying like the only reason the Jewish state is so awful is because America makes it be awful. I'm like, no. Oh, you mean the Jews in control of America? Right, Israel would be worse. It's funny that the kikes in control of America exercise some amount of restraint on the kikes in Israel to not go totally like full genocide.
I'm trying to think of an explanation for how this would work geopolitically if the United States is using Israel as like a little colony.
How are we helped by this?
Like, what is the end goal here?
What's the end goal? If it's to get Arab oil, Israel is a positive impediment to that. Like, we could have lucrative deals with all of these Middle Eastern countries, Arabs and Iranian. All Libya, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, all the Gulf Emirates, fucking Iran, all these countries we could have like really good commercial relationships with, where lots of money was made on all sides and we had cheap oil for consumers in America, if not for this little fucking pissant kike country. And like, even the same thing goes for fucking Russia. Same thing goes for Russia.
I guess the other explanation you might reach for is the United States likes to fuel rogue states just because they love chaos. They just want the region to be fucking chaotic. And
well, this is what's so funny is that people that want to avoid the Jewish question in foreign policy, which is the place where it is most obvious. Okay, Jewish influence is most obvious in foreign policy. It is sometimes harder to detect in other realms of policy and action in America and around the world. It is most detectable. The Jewish control of American foreign policy is most obvious and most detectable there in the foreign policy realm and in the war realm because, one, all the figureheads and policymakers of people in control are Jewish, with the exception of a few people like Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz. But the people actually behind it, all the think tanks, all the study groups, all the NGOs, it's so easy to look and see the Jewish role there. I mean, every person in Biden's cabinet that is national security or foreign policy related is a Jew. All the people we're sending to China. So we send Blinken to China a couple weeks ago. Now Janet Yellen is going to China to try and negotiate with the Chinese. You cannot send somebody to China to negotiate with them unless it's a fucking kike. It just won't happen. Nobody that's not Jewish is allowed to go and talk and negotiate with these other powers on behalf of America unless they're Jewish. That's it. So now, one of the things that they use is the fact that sometimes the lunatic, like crazy kikes in Israel want to just go full genocide, and America's like, hold off on that. You know what I mean? They say that's how that shows. And then those crazy Jews in Israel like chafe under that yoke. But it's like, yeah, but it's Jews in America that are telling you that. It's the Jewish foreign policy establishment in America that's telling you to hold off on going full genocide right away for optics' sake. Like, come on now. Mm. So, yeah. And they're not doing it because they hate Israel. They're doing it because they don't want Israel to become even more of a hated rogue nation, which it is, obviously. I mean, look, they just can't get libtards to love Israel. It's a very difficult thing. They just can't do it. The programming about oppressing people of color is too ingrained. They just can't get libtards to love Israel. It's impossible. And they can easily get dumbass conservatives to use Israel as like a vicarious enactor of their dreams about what they'd actually like to do, which is, to me, just disgusting manipulation of people. It's like, because niggers and people of color are out of control in your country and in Europe, you look at Israel like just oppressing Palestinians, and you like live vicariously through that. But the problem is...
Wait, what? Mike was going to say what? Did we all miss that? Is that because this is the Free Fag Edition? Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Them doing that is why they're in your fucking country. In Europe, at the least. Like, Israel doing this shit is why they're filled with Arabs. And, of course, all these fucking structures in Europe, which are also controlled by Jews, are, like, set up so that literally you, like, just legally can't repatriate these people. Like, the Assad government is actually saying, we would like our people back. And Europe is like, no, no Syrian on European soil shall ever return to Syria because they might be recruited into Assad's army.
No right of return.
No, even if they want to. Europe will forcibly make sure. No, you must stay in Europe and continue to commit crimes and rape white women. You cannot return to Syria and get drafted in to Assad's army to fight the kikes or to fight the kike proxies and ISIS and Kurds, the Kurdish and ISIS Jew proxy armies.
So, all right. Well, let's do the break, and when we come back, you have this article from Stryker we need to go over about the
France. Oh, we got
to
talk about the Jews in America are essentially responsible for the crisis France. In France right now, which is definitely a thing that's
that
happening.
Going, and we'll get this up there. Wow, it's only 11 a.m. This is crazy. Now hour one is done.
Wow, the Russians can see how early we did the show today. They said these people are crazy.
You guys are really efficient.
These guys woke up so early.
You are listening to the Daily Show Up. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny?